We are moving into agenda item three, director's report.
Thank you, Chair. Excellent facilitation skills. It keeps us on time.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So I'll start. We've got a lot to cover in this. So definitely, I was assigned the report back on Columbia policy, so we'll get to that in the end. I want to go through our normal, what I would normally cover in a director's report first. Basically, the lightning round, as we've come to call it, issues. We've had several meetings going on. We've got some rulemaking processes going that I'm going to not go into depth because I want to save some time for the latter discussions. But HPA, civil authority, the killer whale stuff, upcoming fish passage and screening rules. So you're well aware of those. I believe we've had briefings on them. Important meetings that we've attended since our last commission meeting. Had a second riparian workshop with the governor's office. So this is where the governor at Centennial Accord directed state agencies to basically get on the same page regarding how we address riparian management, be it regulatory or recovery or incentive type programs. So we have had two meetings with the state family to develop where that process goes, what it looks like. The governor's been clear that should be based on Department of Fish and Wildlife's priority habitat and species, volume two of which will be coming out here very soon. And basically, we had our second meeting. The governor's office is going away with the information gleaned from all the agencies, and we'll be establishing the path forward for us, or kind of the position the state takes to the next step, which is a state tribal workshop. Governor will assign or select agencies to attend that. We've been very clear that Fish and Wildlife really needs to be on that. I'm confident we will be. And then potentially meetings, I think, beginning in February with tribal representatives. Again, the goal to come up with what do we need for the next legislative session, 21, the biennial session, to do a better job as a state and our co-managers as a tribe to manage and recover riparian areas. So a big deal for us, and we're happy to be moving forward on that. We had our another webinar right before Christmas, continuing our effort to reach out to folks. Pretty good feedback on that. It's an opportunity for people to engage. We had a whole panel of agency leadership up there, and a good way to get grilled with tough questions from the state. We had a government-to-government meeting with the Swinomish tribe regarding our upcoming CEPA decision regarding switching Atlantic net pens to Atlantic salmon net pens to steelhead net pens. Swinomish in particular are not enamored with that concept. We met with them. They also had a government-to-government with DNR, who actually manages the leases, and we will be coming out with an announcement on our decision on CEPA, the CEPA determination, as early as next week. We had a meeting with commercial advisors. This is our normal commercial advisory group. We try to meet with them a couple times a year. This was the second meeting. Heard about them on their concerns. We've also been working with a group of commercials on how we can do a better job of supporting them when they have a product to bring to market. They feel like the agency should be behind them. They're complying with our rules and regulations. We agree. We want to help them. Part of our mission is to have a viable commercial fishery. That means that we need to support them. So we've had one meeting with the advisors as a whole broadly, and a couple of meetings with a smaller marketing working group. We met with a coalition of anglers, the Alphabet Soup, is NMTA, CCAA, and NSIA. I won't define all those. I think you all know who they are. If not, I can. Met with them on the 3rd and then again on the 10th. Contentious meetings, but actually some of the best meetings I've had. It feels like we're being honest and actually getting down to the basics of where folks are really at. So I think that's a positive step. Even though I won't say we agree on everything, we're talking in a meaningful way. Did a presentation with the Puget Sound Anglers in Tacoma. It was actually the Gig Harbor chapter, so this is an effort we're trying to get out to angling groups, talk to them about reduced opportunity, talk about how we're making management decisions. Another good opportunity to field some tough questions from some agitated folks. But that's our job. We're out there. We really believe in engaging with these people. That's how we can get to resolution. We have a couple more of those coming up in the coming months with different chapters of various fishing organizations. was hoping to report on a meeting with Glenn Casamassa from U.S. Forest Service. He was sick, and that got canceled. That's one of the areas where we're going to be working on collaboratively, are things we can be doing on U.S. Forest Service land to better manage cattle and wolf for the benefit of both. So that's being rescheduled. We had a groundbreaking ceremony for a Walla Walla Springs Chinook hatchery. Regional Director Pizangra and Chris Donnelly attended that, so it's exciting to get some new effort going on that. It's another good collaborative. Francine Madden is working for the state, primarily through DNR, on basically reinvigorating the Timber Fish and Wildlife Forest and Fish work groups, so she came in and met with us. They had one meeting I wasn't able to attend. We were here at a commission meeting about, I think it was last February, and so she's beginning re-engaging with that group to try to advance that cause, and how do we make that a more functional operation? That's the entire, state, the full family, the full TFW, the board. A lot of folks feeling like they could improve, get a little more of a collaborative approach there, and that's Francine's expertise, is to drive you into willful collaboration after a while. You've already heard about the strategic plan. We've had a number of meetings with a number of groups, some folks testifying here. Thank you for your participation. People have been pretty excited and really been generous with their time and thoughts for us to make a better plan to move the agency forward. Little thing, session started this week, working on our budget. As you know, well know, we went in with the $26 million budget asked. Governor, in his budget, included a little over $24 million for us. A bit of a surprise, or what was unanticipated, he put a big chunk of that on a renewed fee bill, very similar to the bill we ran last year. So we're working with that. We, as you know, through your decision, put a lot of energy into really going a different way. So we're working with the governor's office and the legislature on that. There's some additional problems with that budget in that even if you go to the fee bill, it's got $24 million booked for 21-23 on fees. We only estimate $17 million coming in. So even if we were successful getting the fee bill, it still leaves us a deficit there that we have to work with. But we are continuing to work with folks to address that. We got a letter of support for 45 organizations supporting the budget that we asked for. Folks realizing that, and these are folks that normally bicker with us or each other or all of the above, in a healthy way, I should say, but they're united on the fact that what they really need is a stable agency in order to continue those policy negotiations. I want to give you a heads up on Lands 2020. You received these in email. We're moving forward with our purchases, but we've I've elected to not move forward with purchases in the northeast corner of the state. Northeast. Huh.
Southeast.
Well, it would go over just as well there.
Yes.
I meant to say southeast, excuse me. So these were three properties in Asotin County and one in Garfield County. We heard from the local legislators, we heard from local commissioners, et cetera, that it's really not ready. To make these properties purchases successful, we need that collaboration. We've experienced this in other counties and feel the best way is to step back, continue to work with those folks, and go in when we're when everybody agrees it's best to do that. So I can provide more detail if you want. You've seen the emails and you were briefed. So it's those four in the southeast corner of the state. With that, I think we've got a lot of meetings coming up, but I think I'd like to spend the rest of the time talking about, seeing what time it is, the Columbia River issues.
Can I just make a...
Commissioner Thorburn.
So I was disappointed about the public lands decision or the lands purchase decision. And just want to highlight the lands showcase work that our public lands group has been doing. I think it's really important because so often with the pushback that we get from legislators and the public in these areas, there's a lot of misinformation, I feel like, in terms of our land management and the positive benefits that we provide with our land management. So, again, the land showcase is just a really important activity to try and counter that so that we don't continue to face this opposition.
Commissioner Anderson and then Commissioner Graybell.
I agree.
And then Molly.
I agree with you and certainly think we do a good job
on that. It's really a matter of timing. We looked at these properties and thought, well, it could wait. And that gives us time to do exactly what you're talking about, get out there and make sure people really understand what this would look like. It's similar. I mentioned counties as Okanagan. We had an actual moratorium up there for a while. They're enthusiastically supporting purchases now. So this gives us, well, the purchases we made, certainly not broadly. That I'll get a quick email on that. But so this gives us time to actually engage with those locals and have the communication you just described. And then we'll see where we're at in the future round.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yeah, I think Kelly kind of affirmed what I was going to say. But, you know, obviously the payment in lieu of taxes issue needs to have a long-term solution. And I know that's not necessarily something that you can write the check out for. But I think that and the issue around operations and how the land is a manager, the stumbling blocks for people. And, we need to continue to make headway in areas where we can and really take those issues off the table to the extent that that's possible, because there will be times when it will be very apparent that these properties need to be acquired for certain purposes that consistent with the plans and the like, and we want to be as well prepared as we can to when we make those decisions. So,
Commissioner Graybill and Commissioner Linville.
As Commissioner Anderson mentioned, PILT is a huge issue with these counties, and I know that there's a bill that's been introduced, and I'm not sure it's going to be addressed during this session, that would move those payments from the Department of Fish and Wildlife to DNR or out of the... We would not be responsible any longer for making those payments. And then secondarily, the responsibility to make those payments be adequate and appropriate falls on the legislators and the counties. And we need to support any kind of effort being made to get that fund, the responsibility of those payments being transferred. And I don't know, I would offer this question maybe to Barbara or one of our appropriate committees, that we even as a commission send a letter to the legislators that are working on this in support of that, to draw attention to it. And then also secondarily, we need to get the legislator to take the responsibility for making those payments be appropriate for what they're assigned.
Commissioner Lindell?
I want to just say that I really appreciate the thoughtful and cautious approach to this, especially in a year, with the budget being tenuous at best. What happens on these properties, I guess I feel like I want to sort of reflect what the concern really is around these. When this, managing land, people see a chunk of ground sitting out there and they assume that it doesn't cost any money for it to be sitting there. And I can tell you it costs a lot of money to have a chunk of ground sitting there. And so just to give a specific example, if the department purchases a piece of property and then doesn't have the money to manage that land, they could have a weed issue, for example. And so if you're an adjacent landowner next to those state grounds and weeds come from the state ground, if you have a weed board, you as a private property owner might be getting the department's weeds, and then you might be getting fined for having those weeds, right? So I think there's not that much misunderstanding about the department owning land. I think the concern often is that, yes, they have the money to purchase lands, but then not the money to take proper care of the land. So I just wanted to sort of clarify that a little bit.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindell. Commissioner Baker, pardon me.
Just just following on the heels of Commissioner Linville's point, I believe we need to give our lands people quite a bit of credit for noticing that problem with M&O. And we voted last year to, it seems like it was about a 400% increase in the amount of money that must be allocated to maintain these lands when we purchase it. Something like, instead of $14 an acre, it's now $50 an acre. That goes into our budget. And thank you to our executive management team for realizing that and taking on that obligation. But with that obligation, the gap between what we're currently funded and what we have the money to pay for widens. So I just wanted to make the point that we've kind of fixed that. and then to also make the point that on PILT payments, that's also a situation where both legislatively and with the agencies, we've known there was a problem for years. It is a way to that the legislature was able to get a little bit more money than they otherwise had if they paid full PILT. But I believe the bills don't send the obligation to DNR. No. Commissioner Graybill, it was the treasurer. And
you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And I think I like your suggestion there. I think we should talk to our legislative to Tom McBride and to Kelly and others about how we can push that forward, whether we have to take a vote, whether I have to do all that. But I like the idea, and I think that I guess I might ask. I think that the agency is supporting that bill. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have our expert in the audience. I think it's been transferred to the treasurer, and the big deal there is we're still responsible to pay for it, but the budget goes into the treasurer's budget, and it's viewed as a typical state obligation to pay. When it shows up in our budget, it looks as a discretionary item for the legislature to attack. Cynthia is our expert.
Yeah, Cynthia Wilkerson, Lands Division Manager, and actually I would point to Julie Sandberg as probably more of the expert on this issue, but in terms of where we are with the legislature, we do have that bill. The bill is simplified in this short session just to permanently move the payments into the treasurer's office, as was recommended by a 2013 Department of Revenue report. And so we're trying to keep that simple and deal with the long-term fix of how to calculate the amount. Next year, we have great support from the PILT Coalition, Association of Counties, and a bunch of the conservation groups as well. We did just get word yesterday that we have a work session in Senate Ways and Means next Wednesday at the 3:30 to 5:30 hearing. So we'll be doing a work session on how PILT works. It is not a simple thing. And so getting that clarity is important, getting the clarity of the payments. Just because the payments happen through the treasurer's office does not mean that we will not continue to work closely with the counties to calculate the correct number. And I agree with the sentiment that it's about a state commitment to doing the right thing in terms of providing the support for the counties to provide the services for those lands. Happy to answer any other questions.
Director, back to you.
Okay, it doesn't look like we have any time for Columbia River. So I apologize for that. At the last commission meeting in Bellingham, I was given some direction. That direction was to, one, explore the delegation to see do I have sufficient delegation to work with Oregon Director Melcher to come to concurrent policies on the Columbia River. I will say, I'm putting together some of the pieces from this morning as well. So I view that as primarily allocation end gear type. I don't think you get to concurrence if you don't have that. In my discussions with Director Melcher, we have been talking about both, so I'll verify that he actually has that delegated authority on his side as well, as opposed to just allocation, as it sounds like Chair Wall talked to Commissioner McIsaac. So the short answer is yes, I think I have all the delegation, or I should say, and at the Bellingham meeting, we talked about Four Spring and North of Falcon, which means to me I have the direction to go figure out how do we get concurrent with Oregon for the 2020 season. That's the way I'm viewing my assignment, is that this is a one-year, this concurrency now. you all talked already this morning about how do we proceed on a multitude of issues on the Columbia. So again, I'm viewing my assignment is to work with Director Melcher to come to concurrency on the Columbia for 2020 seasons for gear and allocation. The short answer is I do have adequate delegation to do that. I'm prepared to do that. I've had preliminary discussions with Director Melcher. We have not reached a deal for just shorthanded. We've talked about general flexibility or lack thereof and various provisions. We both felt we needed to get back and check in with our commissions for potential input, but I'm encouraged that with that, I'm hoping to leave here today with the direction to go get it done. So make sure I get the preliminaries in first. So really we're talking about five areas to me. That's I'm blocking into five groups. That's really Chinook, spring, summer, and fall, Coho, and then we have the recreational hook regulations are the things we've been talking about. So I'll start with the easiest one. That's the Coho. We're basically on allocation. We both prioritize by specific segments, so we're concurrent there. We're a little bit different on gear in that we allow tangle nets and alternative gear and gill nets, whereas Oregon only has tangle nets and alternative gear. I've talked to Director Melcher, and my preliminary direction would be to move towards Oregon's policy on that. So basically, we're concurrent on Coho with tangle net and alternative gear. Again, this is what we've talked about as potentials, not as a final deal pending input here today. I'll move next to Fall Chinook. So on Fall Chinook, we are concurrent on allocation. Both states are at 70-30. There's some up to, including bottom line, we both try to manage to 70-30. So we're concurrent there. We are not concurrent on gear, in that Washington allows gill nets in alternative gear, but gill nets in any zone. Oregon also allows alternative gear in any zone, but they limit gill nets to zones 4 and 5. I've talked to Director, and I was going to tell you on each of these two, I'll give you some ideas what we did last year. So Coho, we're about where we were last year. On this, last year we went to the gill nets in zone 4 and 5 for the 1 year 2019 deal. And so likely, if you send me on my way, that's likely where we would end up again, is the allocations remain 70-30 in both states. Gill nets would be limited to zones 4 and 5. That resulted in a five-day commercial fishery last year, four prior to update, one after run update. Less clarity on spring and summer. Basically, we talked about states, each state moving in towards the other in a different aspect. So on the summer, we are at 70-30. Oregon's at 80-20. We allow gill nets and alternative gear. Oregon allows alternative gear. So when I say where we are, this is Oregon's permanent rule. When I describe theirs, this is where we are in our policy and what's remaining of the policy revisions that were made last year. Some were part-time, some carried on. So this is where I believe we're at. We are at 70-30. If nothing happens, Oregon's at 80-20. We allow gill nets. They don't. That's the shorthand. Last year, there was not enough for a main stem gill net fishery, or main stem commercial fishery, I should say. I talked to Director Melcher about moving towards Oregon on this one as well, meaning that we would go to the 80-20 allocation and not allow gill nets. That is consistent with what happened last year. On spring Chinook, we are not concurrent on allocation. We are at 70-30. Oregon's at 80-20. We allow gill nets. Oregon does not. They only allow tangle nets, and they only allow those post the run update. On this one, I've asked Director Melcher to explore moving towards Washington on the allocation. I think 70-30 allocation. He's exploring that with his commission. And we would move towards them on the gear. So it would be tangle nets, no gill nets, but would I asked them to explore tangle nets any period. Could we get a tangle net before the run update? At the run update, you just kind of crunch yourself at the back end. If there is an opportunity, if the runs support it, I want to make sure that we could actually utilize that. And so those spring and summer, we're moving towards Oregon on one, they're moving towards us on the other. Both of us were comfortable with exploring that or suggesting that that's where we're headed to our commissions. But again, no deal. I believe that's the entirety for the spring Chinook. The last thing was hook choice. I was surprised both of us said we thought there was some flexibility in our various commissions to go either way. So right now we are voluntary barbless, meaning that barbs are not required. Oregon is barbless required. And Director Melcher was going to check in with the Oregon Commission. He thought there was not a unified position there. He thought he could potentially move. I said I thought the same on our commission, that I know we have some folks that are strongly in favor of barbless and some folks who are not. And so left our own devices. I think I couldn't tell you where we'd land, but I thought I would seek input from this group before I go back. So that's the summary of the community. And we did talk about the fact that for other issues, we really don't feel like we're in the position to do it. That, to me, is the buyback, the alternative gear, the cool water refugia. Those things we did not talk about. We talked about allocation and gear type, as described. I've just described. My hope would, if you have strong feelings about any of that, let me know. I'm willing to leave here with just that input and get it done with Director Mark Melcher, and I think we can do it pretty quickly. He is meeting with his commission today as well. So I think as early as next week, we could get together and finalize concurrency on the river this year.
Commissioner Thorburn.
I'm pretty much okay with what you presented. I just the description of that's where we were with the summer run last year, I have a little trouble with that. It was nature that provided us with getting there, not our policy decision. And you know, nature may be the new reality with all the warm water that we see. But to say, okay, well, that's where we were, it wasn't our policy choice to be there. It was what was handed to us. I'm fine with the direction that you're going.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to imply otherwise that we had no directed fishery. And with the run prediction so far, we think we'd probably be in the same place again.
Yeah.
and given that this is a 2020 agreement, you can decide how much energy.
Since you touched on summer runs and the very high likelihood that we will wind up, that Mother Nature is making decisions for us now on the Columbia River in many cases, but I did want to remind the director that there was, from NOAA, a statement in 2018 that identified our summer runs, Upper Columbia summer runs, as the potential of being overfished. And I don't know if that's been part of our discussions, but I think that's an important factor to weave into the process as you make those decisions.
Mr. McIsaac.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of reactions. First, let me agree with Commissioner Thorburn about the summer Chinook situation. I think last year we were at 70-30. Oregon was at 80-20. When it got time for the fish to appear, there were to be discussions about non-concurrency. But the run size was such that I think neither the sport or the commercial fished. So last year there was not agreement at 80-20. We remained apart, but it was a moot issue. I think that my general impression, though, is you going into the negotiations and starting from a Washington position and Oregon's director starting from an Oregon position is the right way to go. Moving toward either side means some sort of flexibility there. With regard to the short-term arrangement that we talked about in Bellingham of just the spring and leading into the March North to Falcon process, going to a one-year agreement with a caveat on precedence that I'll say something in a moment about, I'm fine with the one-year situation, but would be very opposed if the discussions get into a two-year agreement. And I hope when we get around to our discussion about what are we going to do about our process, that what to do 2 years from now. You know, we'll have resolved things by then. On the matter of while you're negotiating, if there becomes any sort of question about the factual basis of things, I'd urge you to take a look at the PRC analysis material. We've had some excellent scientists working on this, and when, if anything gets down to a factual matter, that be the reference document that you go to. On the matter of precedence, I had been concerned about any agreement here being held as a precedent in the future. And while we can't keep other groups from doing that, I think it's very important that whatever this temporary negotiated 2020 agreement might be, that it is just that. It's not something that's based on analysis, public comment, commission process, or anything else that should reflect this is the new Washington Commission policy. And so I guess I would ask that if there's any commissioners at the table who at the end of 2020 would refer back to this agreement that is delegated as our new policy, that I think they should speak up now if they intend to ever do that. It's very important that this is not associated to be our policy. We have a process involved that involves the public to determine such a thing as that.
So Commissioner McIsaac, on the factual, yes, we are referring to the information provided by staff from both agencies at PRC. I am clinging tight to my lifeline, named Ryan, as I talk to Director Melcher. And again, I view my delegated authority for this issue is to come to concurrence for 2020, and I certainly don't have the authority to be negotiating commission policy.
I have a couple of questions. First one's for you, Director. Second one's for the Commission. Do you have a sense that you need any additional guidance from us?
Having laid that out, I have what I need.
Okay. To the Commission, are there any objections or comments at this time? Commissioner Thorburn.
So this is referring to the work other than the allocation work that is involved in the policy. Staff put in a great amount of effort at our direction on analyzing the policy and how it's working. And there were areas of deficiency. And I was hopeful that the PRC would be an opportunity to improve on the policy where the deficiencies were found. I guess what I would propose is that because so much effort has gone into this, that it not come to a halt, that we continue to work on areas of alternative gear, on the buyback, maybe the upriver, and during this hiatus, there be discussions in the Fish Committee. I think eventually there are decisions that the full commission needs to make, because I do think that the deficiencies probably require some corrections in our policy.
I wholly agree with Commissioner Thornburn. The focus of the PRC, once again, got down to economics of a fishery below Bonneville Dam and the concerns for alternative gears, the buyback, and the upriver allocation. Although we did touch on the upriver allocation, the other issues weren't dealt with. And there's no reason why we can't continue to focus on those. And those were deficiencies of the policy. We recognize that. And there's no reason why we can't move forward on the issues of alternative gears, the buyback, and also the proposals put forward on the spring salmon allotment.
Okay. Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the matter of what to do next now, I think, is what we're talking about. I think that it's not noticed for a decision here today to make any firm decisions on what the pathway would be forward. We do have an agenda item on Saturday about future meeting planning, and so at that point in time, when we talk about what our February agenda is, I think that you would hear me speak in favor of having a Columbia River agenda item in February. And with regard to the comments of commissioners just a moment ago, having that be a robust discussion about where to go next. And I also would be arguing to continue the process, but you'll hear me speak in favor of continuing our process as an April-June final decision for revision of Policy 3620, and perhaps having some Fish Committee discussions in March or something. But I agree completely that there's been a tremendous amount of staff work done on this, extremely valuable staff work. We got a comprehensive review here. If I held it up, it would be about that thick. We've got some outstanding analysis that's been done over the course of the last year and appropriately analyzed alternatives, and we're ready to go to a consideration of motions in November, but that got delayed at Oregon's request. So I think it's time for us to finish the process and move on, just as we had planned to do. And when we get to that point, then Oregon can have a look at what we've got. But I'll elaborate more tomorrow. I don't think under the director's report it's time to make such a decision.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So my comments are just directed toward the delegation of authority to the director. And I agree with kind of what you've laid out, Director. However, I strongly, too, want to make clear that what we do for this year has no precedential value for what we do moving forward. You know, we're going to, and I look forward to that conversation on Saturday about future meeting planning. We'll try to get more into those details once we do properly note an agenda item, so that people are noticed, that we're not kind of surprising people here today. So I'll leave it at that. I also want to reiterate that since we're Director, I would encourage you to operate, you know, going from Washington's policy. You know, that's where we start. That's where the commission, that's where we are right now. So it's a mistake to negotiate from a position that you're not already at. And I agree with Commissioner Thorburn as far as the summer run situation and the fall, given kind of the forecast and the likely scenario. There's no real need to really get all worked up, I don't think. But definitely, we voted this commission in March to change our policy, and for us to tell you for you to operate from a different perspective than what this commission through public process, in my view, is a mistake. And so I just wanted to make that clear. I know you're not going to do that, but I just want to go on the record. So thank you.
Mr. Director, we have delegated the outcome of this to you. Do your best.
Will do.
Thank you.